You just heard a rebroadcast of a past live WGXC show.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Every Monday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. you can listen to our Modulism radio show. Airing electro meet acoustic music, championing the use of analog instruments. The use of electricity to sustain a sound produced with a musical intent. Each program lasts 1 hour and is especially dedicated to one composer.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences in both Rhinebeck and Saugerties. This month, playing Jane Austen, Wrecked My Life, The Phoenician Scheme, Materialists, and Sister Midnight, and a lineup of special programming from Upstate Films Art House and Revival House series. Information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Stephanie Medlock of LaPorte, Indiana. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 19th. Local early morning temperatures range from 63 degrees in Medusa to 72 in the valley. Regional average soil temperature is 65 degrees. Air quality will be moderate and pollen levels will be medium. Heat advisory is out today from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Make sure you're well hydrated if you are outside, but avoid it if possible. After a quick fake out this morning, rain shows back up at 2 p.m. when temperatures peak at 88 degrees. It will be muggy all day. The rain ends around midnight. Temperatures fall to 63 degrees. Tomorrow we'll have a windy morning. It will be dry all day and dew points slide back into the 50s. Should be a mostly comfy day despite the high of 81 happening at 2 p.m. Overnight we'll feel muggy and have a low of 64. Saturday, dry morning, possibly rainy afternoon, high of 88. Sunday we'll have a wet morning, a dry afternoon, and a high of 90. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:11 a.m., high tide at 9:36 a.m., low tide again at 4:30 p.m., then high tide once again at 10:18 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 68 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:20 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see a couple Hadouken are on the way, could cause some magnetic storms this evening. X-class flare chances are 25%. Plasma winds will be average at 516 kilometers per second, with a thin density of less than 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S1 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 120. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Public News Service Friday Afternoon Update, I'm Mike Clifford. The Senate parliamentarian has advised that a Medicaid provider tax overhaul central to President Donald Trump's tax cut and spending bill does not adhere to the chamber's procedural rules, delivering a crucial blow as Republicans rush to finish the package this week. That for the Associated Press. And from NBC News, the Supreme Court Friday handed a major win to the Trump administration by allowing it to take steps to implement its proposal to end automatic birthright citizenship. In a 6-3 vote, the court granted a request by the administration to narrow the scope of nationwide injunctions so that they apply only to states, groups, and individuals that sued. And advocates and some state lawmakers gathered at the Alabama State House on Thursday to protest proposed federal budget cuts, which they say would threaten food assistance and other essential services for families in need.
Carol Gunlock with Alabama Rise says the plan would shift longstanding federal responsibilities for SNAP to the state, potentially overwhelming Alabama's budget and forcing cuts that hurt families.
We think that this proposal is going to cost Alabama close to $400 million a year. I don't know that we have the money to do that.
Gunlock says if the bill passes without new funding, state lawmakers could be forced to choose between cutting food assistance or pulling money from other critical services. Shantia Hudson reporting.
And Pride Month is wrapping up. People who fight for LGBTQ health care are speaking out against huge proposed cuts to Medicaid, known as Medi-Cal, in the Golden State.
Republican backers say they want to add more work requirements and make people reapply every 6 months. Juan Carlos Guerrero with the nonprofit Caring Across Generations says that will kick eligible people off the program.
This is part of a misinformation that we're trying to really address and make clear that these are cuts to Medicaid services that are going to be felt in the community around us. May it be through people who use it in the hospital services, people who use it for in-home supports and services.
The bill's supporters say they want to use the Medicaid savings to fund an extension of President Trump's 2017 tax cuts. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Meantime, the nonpartisan League of Women Voters is voicing concerns about people losing their health insurance coverage under what's known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act now in the Congress. Jackie Coolidge with the League says its position is that Medicaid should be completely protected from the proposed cuts.
We would like to see Medicaid left alone. We would love to see it improved and enhanced, but realistically speaking, Medicaid should not be cut. You've got a lot of vulnerable people who are going to be suffering.
Supporters of the legislation say it would cut taxes, rein in federal spending, and give states more control over Medicaid. The League estimates more than 3 million Michiganders would lose health coverage and tens of millions of people in other states. This is Public News Service. A process sometimes known as prison gerrymandering inflates the population numbers in voting districts where prisons are located, which affects the results when states draw legislative districts after the census. But groups say there's an easy fix for states like North Carolina.
The three most prison gerrymandered districts in North Carolina have incarcerated populations of close to 4%. Mike Wessler says a U.S. Census Bureau policy means people are counted in the wrong place.
It counts them as residents of a prison cell rather than in their home communities. When states like North Carolina then use this census data to draw new legislative districts every 10 years, they inadvertently give disproportionate political power to communities that have prisons.
Gerrymandered districts in North Carolina include District 32, where a federal correctional facility is located. According to the Prison Policy Initiative, only about 4% of people incarcerated by the Federal Bureau of Prisons are from North Carolina, meaning the majority of people in the facility are not even from the state. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
And neighborhoods in Virginia with a higher proportion of people of color tend to be several degrees hotter than others during summer months, according to a new report.
Neighborhoods with individual cities exhibited stark temperature differences, sometimes by as much as 15 degrees. Todd Lookingbill with the University of Richmond says he studied intra-urban heat islands, or temperature differences in neighborhoods across one city. Hotter neighborhoods commonly have fewer trees and surfaces that water can't seep through, like roads and roofs. He explains that while heat islands have been identified in bigger cities, heat disparities also exist in smaller cities and towns. Those hotspots were frequently found in historically segregated neighborhoods with more people of color.
We did find in four of our cities that had been historically redlined that those areas that were redlined and were denied kind of housing loans historically, those areas continue to be some of the warmest areas in those towns and cities. Those environmental injustices seem to be persistent through time.
I'm Simone Perez.
Finally, nearly 30% of Gen Z college students decided where they would attend school based at least partly on political reasons, according to a new report.
The education consulting firm EAB found 14% of prospective students removed a school from their consideration list for being too conservative, and 12% did so for schools they deemed too liberal. Pam Royal with EAB says a key finding is that prospective students are looking for college choices that reflect their values.
They're eliminating certain institutions that they believe are misaligned with their political values, either because they're too conservative or they're too liberal, they're in a blue state or a red state.
These incoming students are part of what some call the anxious generation because of their increased mental health struggles. Royal says they tend to have a greater sense of anxiety, largely because of social media and pressure to make decisions in an environment with competing messages. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for ending your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and good afternoon. You are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 Radio for Open Ears. I'm Simone Stevens, your host for today's show. And it is the last day of our Ripples Makes Waves pledge drive. So everyone, as we know, independent media is taking quite the beating, and we do not need to let that happen. Let's keep independent media alive and well. Not just surviving, let's not just survive, let's thrive here. I've donated happily, and you can too, super easy, at wgxc.org/donate. And today I'm super excited to welcome Bradford Reed of Grains of Euphora, an ambient musical project. Right? Hi, Bradford.
Hi. Yeah, it's sort of, it's definitely in that zone. Definitely in the ambient zone.
Yeah, yeah, which I earlier said ambient, I think.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's very European.
Tomato, tomato, ambient, ambient.
Ambient. Yeah, it sounds like, but it does sound sort of like ambient or something. I don't know. Ambient,
that's what
I don't
something know. You take before you go to sleep. Yeah. But you have a show coming up, which is actually a benefit for WGXC at the Avalon Lounge.
Yes, we are doing our part for this amazing radio station. That's on Sunday, and tickets are available online. And I'm allowed to say that it's free and donation or not. I can't.
You could actually say, the rules of the radio.
Well, it's a donation-based experience.
Yes,
it is. So that your donation could be zero.
Yes, and it's a wonderful experience.
Right.
And all of the information, as well as the opening act, which you are going to talk a little bit about, can be found on theavalonlounge.com's website. So, And would you want to play a song?
Yeah, let's play a song.
Let's play
one of our tunes, and then
All right. Let's
talk more rock.
And we're going to be playing Jewels of Reversal, correct?
Yeah.
Here we go, rock and roll. All right. Wow. I love that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. Hopefully the listening audience liked it too.
I'm sure they did. You just heard Grains of Euphoria, and I'm here with Bradford Reed. And some of those, can you explain some of those sounds? I can't always identify
Well, the project is myself and Ryder Cooley, and Ryder plays the accordion, and she plays in this project, and she plays the musical saw. And then I play an instrument I invented called the pencilina. And the pencilina is kind of looks like maybe two lap steels together, except it has movable bridges. Hmm. So there's a bass neck and a treble neck. The bass neck has four strings. The treble neck has six strings. It's hard to describe, but it's so the outer strings I can easily bow. So I can bow the lowest string, mm-hmm. and I can bow of the bass, and I can bow the highest string of the treble, and I can also kind of put the bow in between the two necks and bow the lowest string of the treble neck too, which is, has a sort of cello sound. So I work with those, and then I pluck it. Mm-hmm. as well, and mm-hmm. and I my main sort of shtick is I'm a percussionist, so I play it with little sticks that used, and the instrument's called a pencilina because I used to play it with pencils until I got hip to cut off timbale sticks, which really last a lot longer and are way more easy to deal with than pencils, because the pencils, the erasers would come flying off, and the weight on the
became
end is
dangerous.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice thing, but they're too light. And I the timbale, I'm a drummer, mm-hmm. so the timbale sticks kind of helped. I mean, it's
what is a timbale? That's actually unfamiliar to
me. It's like
a
timbales. It's a type of drum used in Latin music, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, salsa, you know, Tito Puente, you know, mm-hmm. you know, they play the shell, and so those are like they're 3/8 inch sticks, the diameter.
Oh, okay, so yeah. Sure. So, yeah,
and then I have to cut them down to make them. There's one of the guys who's walking out. He's walking his dog, and he's one of the dudes who's playing
on Sunday.
Yeah, there he is walking.
We are sitting
very cute
in
dog.
The Catskill studio, looking out at the wind through the trees, yeah. and one of the musicians playing on Sunday night just walked by
for music right? for furniture.
Did he see you? No,
he didn't. yeah. So that's the sort of basis of the instrumentation. And then one of my things that I really like to do is augment the sound using electronics. I'm nerdy, mm-hmm. so I do a lot with
processing,
and I love modular synthesizers and mm-hmm. modular synthesis. I like modular synthesis. I love modular synthesizers, mm-hmm. but they're sort of oppressively complicated to play with any kind of consistency, and so I use a lot of those techniques transpose into a digital realm where I can do the patching and all that and reuse it. But on some of these pieces you'll hear, we actually did use the modular synthesizer, and if anybody doesn't know what that is, it looks like an old, you know, telephone board, and you connect all the different parts of the synthesizer however you want and use whatever parts you want to make sound. So
a lot of this is tactile, but also processing, needing to be tech savvy.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, well, one of my things is, like, I am sort of into the school of unquantized electronic music. So, you know, electronic music that's, you know, where it becomes an extension of the human, you know, immediate human expression rather mm-hmm. than... you know, rather than sort of a mechanized grid, which is also interesting to me as well. But it's, you know, I think my main shtick is sort of the, you know, augmenting the, mm-hmm. the immediate human stuff.
Well, for particular sounds, I remember working with a producer once, and it always amazed me being behind the scenes and seeing what is creating the sound that ends up on the recording. And I remember this one time he got this great sound that was not very identifiable, but what it was is he was spraying an empty aerosol can onto guitar strings while he was playing them is what is the most unexpected thing that you've ever gotten a sound and then possibly looped, or have you?
Yeah, I do like, I like loops. I don't know. There's so many. I don't know. I try and make unexpected stuff all the time. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. Like a lot of times I feel like when I sample physical things, that's cool too. I don't know. I like rain and water and all that, but yeah, I like the immediate vibration of like you're playing and it's something's vibrating,
yeah.
And air is moving, and then air is moving, and then the electronics, you know, kind of
amplify, exacerbate,
yeah, do things to that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you have a couple of other projects, one being a film project, Order of the Elusive.
So I do silent film scores with a guitarist, Jeff Gersh, and mm-hmm. Zach Layton, who plays the 17 string bass.
There's such thing.
Yeah, there is. So we just played at Proctor's in Schenectady, but our next show is in September at I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere. But anyway, you can Google that, and we do silent films and silenced films. So we'll do, you know, contemporary films with subtitles, and then, you know,
they turn all the audio off.
Yeah, and we'll do an alternate version, you know. So we've done some of our favorite films.
What?
Like Aguirre, Wrath of God, we did that. We did a silent version of Holy Mountain. In Aguirre, Wrath of God, we did keep Klaus Kinski's kind of ranting dialogue in the middle. So sometimes we just did Audition, that a very, very violent Japanese movie. That was.
And so it had subtitles. You had all the sound turned off, and then
played. Then we'll just sort of approach it like a silent film.
But are you improvising?
Yeah. We improvise, yeah. And then we have techniques of sort of scoring together. We have hand signals, and yes, but it's very improvisatory.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fun. And the three of us have been collective. Like Jeff and I have been improvising, I think, for over. I don't even want to say, but I think it's been like 30 years at this point, and Zach maybe 15 years, and then so it's we can sort of really fake it.
You have your own language,
yeah.
At this point,
yeah, you sort of know what people are going to do. So that's a big part of work is, that I like spontaneity,
yeah.
In music, and that's also something that Ryder and I try and work with and preserve as we. Move forward with our music.
Wow. Well, let's hear another one, shall
okay,
we?
Okay, yeah.
All right, so this one is called The Last Wave, Grains of Euphora. Here we are.
Thank you.
Cool. You are listening to Grains of Euphora, and I'm sitting down with Bradford Reed, and we are meeting on the last day of the pledge drive. So independent media, y'all, let's protect it, right? Easy to donate, wgxe.org/donate. I've done it. My loved ones have done it. It's worth it. Keep it alive. Super excited to sit down with you. Loved that track. And we were kind of talking in between while the track was playing about how nothing is overdubbed.
Right? Yeah. So the way that we work, now with these pieces, the next piece will have many overdubs. But generally, I was playing the drums and my pencilina, the instrument I invented, mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then also, so while Ryder was, then I was reaching over to a modular synthesizer and adjusting that, in between some of the, in the breaks, to yeah. make some of those funny sounds. And so the modular synthesizer is like catching little bits of our playing and then pulsing that,
wow.
to sort of give the pulse. Percussive. Yeah. Well, I'm playing like the bass drum and then snare drum, and then I have a hi-hat that chick, chick, but then there's like tick, 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 and that's mm-hmm. the modular mm-hmm. catching bits of our sound.
And for the listeners who don't know what overdubbing or the production, the process of overdubbing is.
Well, a lot of things are layered after the fact. So when people record a record, maybe they'll start with, the drums now, and then they'll add the bass and then the guitar or whatever.
One by one.
Yeah, your pieces, some records have, famously a zillion tracks, and now everybody can do that. It's a wonderful thing, at home on their computers or
their
bedrooms, their phones
yeah.
or
yeah.
their watches. So I tend to like to work in real time, just in that sort of immediate moment of expression and vibration.
Yeah. Here's what I think would happen with me. Do you ever have a composition that you're playing live all the way through, but then you do it again? So you have another pass that was entirely...
Sure, a different take.
Yes, a different take, and then go, oh, I love elements of that
one.
Oh,
yeah, we do. Yes, we edit. I do. I'm a very good editor, and you probably could never tell when I edit things because I've gotten really sneaky and strategic with my edits, and I've gotten good at that. So I don't
a whole other art form.
Yeah, and I used to feel when I worked with tape years ago that you should leave don't edit, but then I started thinking like, well, that doesn't make sense, just put the most interesting stuff together. And then think about like Glenn Gould, the most famous classical record, the Goldberg Variations, and he they cut tape like nobody's business. They used the razor blade a lot. So editing is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think. If they're charming mistakes, then I would leave them. But why not?
I think it's a whole other art form into itself. Yeah. I mean, you're assembling a picture, basically.
Yeah.
Right? And you can assemble it poorly, but you can also assemble it beautifully.
Yeah.
So how did you first get started in music? Let's go.
Oh,
my
grandmother was, I came from a musical family. She was like a very adept classical pianist. And I would just hang out and watch her feet on the pedals underneath the piano, and that was sort of where everything started. And she'd play Chopin, and it was really great. And then Yeah, I just started ever since I, you know, like a little kid. And then my father had a lot of pressure to play music and to be a virtuoso pianist. And his rebellion against that was that he just wanted to play show tunes. And also that then when I showed an interest, my grandmother gave me a violin and a tiny little violin. And my father did not encourage me to take violin lessons. So I would improvise on the little violin with my grandmother. And it was probably horrible, but she was enthusiastic about it. And then when it finally came time, I think I was like 8 or 9 or something. I was like, Dad, I'd like to, you know, play the drums. And once he sort of saw that I was truly interested, he's like, okay, I get you some lessons.
You had to prove it to him first.
Yeah. So I started as a drummer and then sort of branched off into, piano. I think when I was 16, I invented that the Pensolina.
Oh, wow.
The first one. Yeah. So it's been some time.
Wow. Time to perfect and...
Well, I don't know how perfect it is, but you know, to just keep moving and learning from it. It's like so oddly, I've learned a lot about music and sound and physics and everything from this instrument, which I at first I had no idea really what it was doing, or I didn't know what the notes are, and now I know what all the notes are. And
sometimes isn't that hard for people to start learning by ear and not actually knowing how to read music and developing a musical identity or sound, and then to go back and learn theory?
It's been pretty brutal for me. Like, and it's funny because I'm not a very good reader. I mean, I'm familiar with notation and I use it, but I actually can read MIDI, which is the graphical representation of notes on a computer screen, much easier than I can read like a score. So I can actually look at MIDI lines, like piano roll notation, and know what's going on and work with that very easily and, you know, play along to that and come up with harmonies and things, you know. But if sheet music, I'm kind of limited to drumming and it's annoying. It's great. But in another way, it's sort of freeing too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Cause you're going by ear, by feel. So Pensolina already invented at 16. What did your first band or musical partnership look like?
I played in rock bands and I didn't do much with the Pensolina in bands until maybe I was in my, late teens or whatever. And I had a band in New York called the Firefishers, and then I played in a band called King Missile also, that was sort of famous band, and produced a bunch of their records. So I would play the Pensolina with King Missile different projects and sort of learning in the context of, you know, all the different things I was doing. And I did a lot of music for television, for animation, orchestral music. So that was a big part of my experience. Didn't really use a Pensolina that much for that, but learned a lot about arranging and orchestration, things like that.
Do you have a score that, or a project, film or animation that stands out most for you?
That I like or that I've worked on?
That you love the most, let's say.
Even a film, like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I mean, or I mean, anything really, like a lot of the Marconi stuff I love, really. And I like Jerry Goldsmith, Planet of the Apes, really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot, and it just keeps going.
The list keeps, that's a good thing, right? To have a list that keeps on going of things you like.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about The City on the Edge of Forever.
All right. So, so this started out as I just started working with a sample, and Ryder is playing on, this is not a Grains of Euphoria song. This one is coming, this is from my upcoming record, and It has not released, so you're the first human beings to hear it, and this is a very complex piece of music that has a lot of overdubs and layers and big huge drums.
So kind of opposite end of the spectrum a little bit to Grains of
Euphoria. But Ryder is rocking out on the saw on this one, and this is not what we will be doing on Sunday at the Avalon.
But another time.
Yeah, if we could get a complex, like a big budget for like a lot of people to play, that we would be doing this one.
Yes, coming soon to a venue near you. All right, shall we give it? So this is the world premiere, correct?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Here we go. Thank you.
Wow, you just heard the world premiere.
Hopefully you're driving and it was good. It was a good thing. Because I think that would be a good song for driving.
For a nice long drive, yeah, or short drive. Yeah, any just, length of drive.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's that time of day, so maybe some people heard that in their cars.
Yeah.
Be a good thing.
And you listening to it, you had some reactions.
Yeah, I mean it's been a while since I recorded half of the stuff. I don't know how I did it. I don't know what I recorded. I think it was like two. Normally, so we were discussing this before. Normally, this project, and this is a different. I found out we had 50 minutes, and I wanted to fill the time and not just yammer on
gab
about
and gab.
Stuff. Yeah, so I thought that would be an interesting thing to play, and also riders playing on it. And it's different than the Grains of Euphora stuff when you know that we'll be doing on Sunday at the Avalon, which is the benefit
for
show. Should plug that
WGXC.
Awesome WGXC. That is our contribution, and also with Music for Furniture, who are amazing, and I actually met them in the last couple of years. We had a listening club, and they would invite, and they'd say, like, we're playing. Come, you know, we play every Monday. And I was like, great. And they were actually playing here at the cafe at 8 a.m. And I'm
what?
Like, in the morning.
In the a.m.
And I'm like, are you insane? I'm you know, like, 8 a.m., you know, but that's what they did. And I mean, that's not the only place that they play. But they're fantastic ensemble, like really.
How many people are
there
in
there? Are hang on, there are like four or five of them,
is it instrumental?
It's instrumental, mm-hmm. and it's fantastic, and I love really good improvised music, mm-hmm. and that's what they do, and they've been playing together a lot, and they really know how to listen to each other. And that's Kenji Garland, Jimmy Garver, Rodney Greenblatt, who we just saw walking down the street walking his dog, Dan Kirkus, who also, if you ever get bread around here,
uh-huh.
I think his bakery's in Athens or...
bread.
And he's the most incredible. He makes like the best bread in the universe, Dan. And David Garland, who's amazing, and he plays guitar and woodwinds, and he's the more acoustic guy of them. But they're fantastic. So they're playing before us at 7:30.
Wow, Avalon Lounge in Catskill,
yeah.
For the benefit for WGXC.
Yes.
Yeah. All information, just go to theavalonlounge.com. How exciting. I want to go.
Yeah. Well, why don't you come? What are
I'm
you
coming.
Doing?
All right. I'm already, excellent. Yeah. I'm coming.
It'll be fun.
It's so exciting. So a little bit about the City on the Edge of Forever.
Okay. City on the Edge of Forever. So the background of that song is that, when I was a teenager, I lived in Philadelphia when I was 18,
uh-huh.
for a year. And the thing that was happening there at the time was, and I'm an old person now, so I'm going to date myself, but it was industrial music.
Older. I'm saying older personally. Yeah, or old, whatever you.
Okay. You say what you want.
Yeah. You're right. I shouldn't force anybody to change their old.
You know, it's
old,
fine. I don't have, I'm perfectly happy being my age.
But, I come from a mother who always says, I'm not old, I'm vintage. So
right.
I'm very programmed.
Well, that's cool. But anyway, at the time, it was like really heavy duty, like bashing on metal. Uh-huh. Einstein's Neubauten, and there was a band that a lot of my friends were in called Sync Manhattan. And so the reference is, for me, it's like a personal City on the Edge of Forever, which is also the Star Trek episode,
mm-hmm.
with the two-parter. Dating myself with Joan Collins, where Kirk and Spock go back in time. So, you know, it's sort of cute riff on that. And I'm a big Star Trek fan, most of the Star Treks.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's that. And that's a sort of complex piece of music.
Yeah, it's very landscapey. I felt like I was walking on this, you know, sort of strange landscape.
Good.
Unfamiliar to me.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that I like to do, is just make the music kind of familiar enough that it is, that there is a sort of foothold or place,
mm-hmm.
to be, where it's not too jarring or impossible to, like, there's enough musicality in it, but mm-hmm. but to be in a different sound world.
Yeah.
So the record I made, which is going to come out probably in the fall, is called Pedal Tones, and it has a lot of pieces like that. Mm-hmm. Also using, so I'm using this instrument I invented, mm-hmm. Synthesizers and musical saw, and then, mm-hmm. you know, huge drums, like big concert bass drums. Mm-hmm. My friend, I played for a long time in Blue Man Group.
you did?
Yeah, when I was years ago. And so over the years, many giant drums, I haven't played, I think my last show was like year 2000 or something, but I might have seen you
that
was
that
in the
year.
Original thing, but anyway, oh. I ended up with some very big drums
gifted
as a result of this was and they're still there, which is kind of cool.
Wow.
And, so yeah, the drummers of Blue Man have all been good pals. So,
so you were the genesis.
I was in the original. Yeah, I was in the sort of original band of that.
Wasn't that exciting? I mean, because it went from
it was
off,
initially
like a small little show
initially it
people...
was very exciting and yeah. and yeah.
And it's still on today, right?
No, it no? just it oh. just closed, and wow. I think it's just closed in Boston too.
Wow,
yeah.
wow. Yeah.
So those are some of the percussion, you know, those big drums from Blue Man.
But, would you say how many tracks are on?
I don't know. It was silly, and then but you know, a lot of that was also like done live, but then, you know, edited into a form, and then. And then I did some overdubs, and Ryder played on it, and, you know, so it's that making that kind of big orchestral mm-hmm. sound world mm-hmm. fun, you know.
Yeah, and Ryder plays the musical saw.
She plays a musical saw, yes, yeah. and accordion.
Yeah,
and she's amazing. I really really like playing with Ryder, and she's good at kind of reining things in a little bit and mm-hmm. steering it to a sort of place where we can, you know, repeat stuff.
Like motifs.
Yeah, we have, yeah. so we actually have pieces that mm-hmm. we play and mm-hmm. rehearse, and that's mm-hmm. that's nice.
Yeah. Within that, do you improvise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we'll be playing some of our pieces and improvising too.
Wow.
And I'm also bringing a bunch of electronics too. I could go on. I'm not going to start talking about modular synthesizers because I really don't want to be boring. But they're really expensive, and they're really fun. They're really fun. They're expensive. They're a pain. They don't have a memory, so it's not. You can't hit save on them. So when you make a very complex combination of
that's it.
It's generally so. But now there's all these virtual versions of that. So I've made some of my favorite patches, save them on an iPad, and I can just pull them up. You know, just these ridiculously complex, really mm-hmm. fun, wacky things, and they're just immediately available.
And so you improvise with those.
Yeah,
like you don't know which patch you're going to use.
I do. Yeah, I do. But a lot of like, did you see the Brian Eno film?
I did. I went to the WGXE.
Yeah, you went to the. That was so good.
Wow, that was so.
That was really great. So he's a huge influence for me. It's mm-hmm. really funny because one of the reason I built the Pensolina mm-hmm. was because of Fred Frith. I don't know if you saw him play, but he played before the film. He also played at the Avalon.
Oh, I did. Yes.
He was playing
yes,
on the roof
yes.
of the. And he's
that was fantastic,
and that's why
yeah.
as a teenager it was. It was his music that inspired me to make the first Pensolina.
Wow. I was actually going to ask you if you saw the Brian Eno.
Oh, yeah. But his, you know, Brian Eno's whole thing, or one of his many brilliant, amazing things was what he calls generative music, which uh-huh. is music that, you know, makes itself. So you give it sort of parameters uh-huh. And then it just does its thing.
Yeah.
That modular synthesizers are really amazing for that. But they're complicated and hard to deal with. But when you can just pull one up literally on your phone or an iPad and do all the patching in there. And
it's magic.
It is. We, you know, of all the things that are horrible in the world, today.
That's a great.
This is, you know, and I mean, and probably Apple is horrible, and you know all that, but gee, you know, to be able to the technology that everybody has now is just
right?
So
it's mind-blowing,
fantastic.
And, well, let's hear one more track from Grains of Euphoria. Yeah, so to this, get everybody stoked about
yeah, this,
Sunday night.
Well, yeah, this one's a sort of this is a, just a mellow sort of. Let's have this
it.
Be an exhalation of the work week
yes.
into the weekend.
Here we go. So Grains of Euphoria Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night, and that's the show starts at 7:30 at the Avalon in Catskill, and before us is the amazing Music for Furniture, and I think it's going to be a great show. It is a benefit for this radio station WGXC, mm-hmm. and it is a donation event, and the donation could be zero.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is a number that a donation could be.
It could be zero, or it could be more than that.
But I'm very excited to be in the room, know that it is benefiting WGXC, and I get to hear amazing music and benefit WGXC. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and I get to put my musical energy into the world and towards this radio station, which is great.
And helping independent media thrive and survive
yeah.
and continue Right? And so this is the last day, everyone, for the pledge drive. Ripples make waves, meaning one small ripple makes huge waves in our own communities, in the world. I personally have gone on to donate and pledge. I made a pledge this week, and I also do it monthly, actually. And you could do it at wgxc.org/donate. This is Simone Stevens, and I've been sitting down with Bradford Reed from Grains of Euphora.
Thanks so much for having me. And you know, if people out there like the music, just follow us or me on Instagram. We're Grains of Euphora, and my Instagram is Pensilina1. And then I put everything that I'm doing generally on Instagram, you know, like shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, do check it out. You'll get, there's some great, you have some great footage of you playing, and it's really, really exciting.
Oh, yeah, and there's a bunch on YouTube also, so if you're interested. And oh, and then there's things on Spotify and Apple
Music. Yeah, all the places.
Yeah, all
that.
So
go to all the places, guys and gals.
And hopefully we'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, see you Sunday.